Chapter 6, Making Time to Visit Classrooms. Now that you have a solid plan for visiting classrooms, the greatest remaining barrier is time. You'll never find unused time in your day, no matter how organized you are. You'll have to create time by carving it out of your calendar. Yet it's not enough to simply prioritize and avoid other realities in order to get into classrooms. In this chapter, we'll explore specific strategies for scheduling your high-performance instructional leadership visits each day. Parkinson's Law states that, quote, work expands to fill the time available for its completion, unquote. Parkinson, 1957, page 3. In other words, you'll never not use all of the time available to you each day. The only question is how you'll use it. This chapter will help you reduce interruptions caused by emergencies, create time through self-discipline, schedule short time blocks for classroom visits, and keep track of your visits. These scheduling techniques can free up all the time you need for classroom visits and more. Reduce interruptions from emergencies. If you're like most administrators, you probably spend several hours each day dealing with interruptions and emergencies of various types. Some of these legitimately need your attention, while others could be handled without you or postponed to another time that wouldn't disrupt your calendar. Let's consider interruptions that come from issues that do require your attention, but not immediately. Many of the quote-unquote emergencies that interrupt administrators throughout the day could, in reality, receive attention 5 or 10 minutes later without any negative consequences. When I ask school leaders to define what constitutes an emergency, I sometimes hear answers like if there's blood or if it's a safety issue. Consider, though, how these scenarios go when you're absent for the day. Are you the nurse? Are bleeding students going untreated when you're absent? Are other staff members incapable of responding to safety issues? Of course not, and whatever occurs when you're off campus can also occur when you're in classrooms. When other staff members consider an issue to be an emergency worth interrupting you about, they usually feel they should at least notify you about the issue and possibly consult with you about what to do. Typically, though, this can wait 5 to 10 minutes. Sit down with your office staff and make a list of true emergencies that justify interrupting your classroom visits. For example, a lockdown or evacuation. If an issue can wait a few minutes, it shouldn't warrant interrupting you. Discuss how office staff can respond to the typical near-emergency issues that arise in your school, including what to do when you're not immediately available. You can either delegate near emergencies or put them off until you return to the office. For example, a discipline referral is not usually a true emergency. Students can typically wait 15 minutes to speak with you, and in fact, it may be preferable to give them a few minutes to cool down. It may not be appropriate for another staff member to handle student discipline issues or confidential staff concerns. On the other hand, someone with the authority to initiate a lockdown or evacuation should always be available. A serious medical emergency may warrant an interruption, but you should discuss with your office staff what types of situations you're comfortable hearing about after they're handled and which situations you want to know about immediately. Create time through self-discipline. The foundation of time management is self-discipline. It does no good to plan your schedule for the day, eliminate interruptions, and give strict instructions to your office staff if you aren't going to follow your calendar. For most school leaders, this is a formidable challenge. Leaders are conditioned to respond to emerging situations, Mintzberg, 1973, and we learn not to be too disappointed if we're unable to achieve everything we've planned for the day. But without committing to making a plan for daily classroom visits and sticking to it, you reduce your efforts to wishful thinking. While we may be unable to fit in everything we'd like, no daily habit is more essential than spending time visiting classrooms and talking with teachers. High-performance instructional leadership must be our top priority. And when it's not possible to visit classrooms due to meetings, crises, or other factors, we must continue to adhere to our written plans for the day as closely as possible. If you're forced to adjust, don't scrap your plans, modify them. If your schedule changes, don't abandon your calendar for the day, update it. Always make sure you're doing what's on your calendar, and always make sure what you're doing is on your calendar. This honesty with yourself and deference to your calendar will serve you well as you face tough choices about how to spend your time. Self-discipline starts at the planning stage. Take a few minutes each day to plan your work for the next day. By deciding what to work on in advance, you'll be more realistic about your overall workload, energy level, and schedule for the day, and you'll enjoy a greater ability to protect time for classroom visits. Schedule short time blocks for visiting classrooms. When it's time to schedule specific blocks of time to visit classrooms, you'll want to schedule brief, frequent blocks on your calendar rather than long, continuous blocks. The longer the block of time is, the more likely it is that daily happenings will interrupt you, and the harder it'll be to reschedule it for later. When working with groups of administrators on their classroom visit schedules, I've often found that they attempt to set aside an entire morning or even an entire day to visit classrooms. Schedule shorter blocks and you'll have fewer difficulties making it into classrooms. You can schedule a block as short as 10 minutes or as long as your schedule and the realities of the school day allow, but I generally recommend keeping these blocks to 30 minutes or less. You may still want to schedule some blocks that are long enough to visit an entire team or department during the same portion of the day, but you may also want to take advantage of built-in breaks. For example, you may go to a classroom, then supervise a passing period or recess, then go straight to another classroom. You'll also want to schedule more blocks than you need. For example, to visit 3 teachers per day, you may want to schedule 5 or 6 possible times on your calendar to account for inevitable interruptions. The more frequently you get interrupted, the more additional blocks you'll want to schedule. When one of these blocks arrives, don't treat it as optional just because you have extra blocks scheduled for later in the day. Unless you've already hit your goal for the day, go immediately to the next classroom on your list. For example, let's say John is an elementary principal whose school day runs from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Students come and go to specialists' classes, recess, and lunch at various times throughout the day, and John covers several recess and lunch duties throughout the week. None of these duties occur between 8 and 9:15 a.m., so John tries to visit an entire grade-level team between 8:45 and 9:15 a.m. daily. This gives him time to respond to any parent concerns and phone calls and get a bit of office work done before he heads out to visit classrooms. Because John's school has few discipline issues in the morning, he is usually not interrupted during this 30-minute block, so he can almost always complete 2 or 3 classroom visits before heading to his first recess duty. John covers K-2 lunch duty starting at 11:15, so he schedules a classroom visit block at 11. This requires John to stop what he's working on in the office a few minutes earlier, but the disruption is minimal since he's able to work in the office from 9:15 to 11. Because K-2 students are preparing to transition to lunch at that time, John usually visits 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade classes who don't go to lunch until 11:45. In the afternoon, John usually deals with a few discipline issues, so he knows he'll need to plan more blocks than he'll actually need to account for interruptions. John schedules 15-minute blocks from 1:20 to 1:35, and 2:25 to 2:40, adjacent to his afternoon recess duties, and he expects to visit classrooms or catch up with teachers he visited earlier in the day, in case he didn't get a chance to talk with them, during at least one of those 2 blocks. School is over at 3 p.m., but John usually doesn't plan any visits between 2:40 and 3. However, he can drop into classrooms or catch up with teachers during this time if he wants to. With this schedule, John can often reach his goal of 3 classroom visits per day during the morning block alone. However, if he has a meeting or interruption during that time, he still has ample opportunity in his calendar to reach his goal later in the day. He also gets to visit classes at different times of day, so he doesn't always observe the same subject when he visits a particular teacher. He can check in frequently with the office and can still get plenty of office work done in between classroom visits. Now we'll consider another example. Let's say Susan is a high school principal who shares evaluation duties with 2 assistant principals. She wants to observe the teachers she evaluates at different times of day and wants to make sure she has flexibility to attend her district's frequent off-campus meetings and still reach her goal of 3 class visits per day. Susan's school has a 6-period day with 3 overlapping lunch periods. She and her assistant principals arrange their schedules so 1 administrator is in the office, 1 is in the lunchroom, and 1 is in classrooms during each lunch period. With this arrangement, she's able to visit classes that overlap with other teachers' lunch periods. Her school doesn't have recess, but she wants to make sure she can visit classes during any period with minimal disruption, so she decides to schedule a class visit block during every period. She only uses half of these blocks on any given day, but she finds that her high rate of interruptions due to emergencies and district meetings makes it essential to schedule 6 visits a day in order to consistently accomplish 3. Your own specific duties, staffing patterns, and school schedule will determine when you're able to schedule your classroom visits. What matters is that you create a viable schedule that will allow you, like John and Susan, to accomplish 3 visits per day, every day. Schedule visiting blocks based on interruptions. Plan your classroom visit schedule based on how often you get interrupted. The formula to use is as follows. Number of desired visits per day divided by success rate equals number of needed blocks. For example, if you get interrupted 50% of the time when you attempt to visit classrooms and succeed 50% of the time, consider the following. 3 visits per day divided by 0.5 success rate equals 6 blocks per day. Schedule these 6 blocks on your calendar and consistently succeed in getting to classrooms during 50% of these blocks, and you'll be on track. If you get interrupted 2/3 of the time and only succeed 1/3 of the time, the calculation would be as follows. 3 visits per day divided by 0.33 success rate equals 9 blocks per day. If, on the other hand, you can adhere to your schedule 80% of the time, you'll only need the following. 3 visits per day divided by 0.8 success rate equals 3.75 blocks per day. When the answer isn't a whole number, simply round up. In the last example, you'd need 4 blocks per day to reach your target consistently. Coordinate and track your visits. It's essential to keep track from day one of which teachers you've visited and on what dates. If you don't keep track, you'll systematically overvisit the friendliest, closest, and most competent teachers, and you'll unwittingly tend to avoid teachers who are farther away, less receptive to your visits and feedback, or struggling. You can keep a list of all staff, but you may also want to get your administrative assistant or technology involved. A variety of electronic apps, such as Repertoire and TeachBoost, can help you keep track of your classroom visits and direct you to the next teacher in your rotation. If you prefer a low-tech solution, you can use a stack of note cards, one per teacher, to keep you on track. Each day, have your administrative assistant give you the top 3 cards from the stack. Check the names on these cards against your master schedule, and pick a scheduled block that matches each teacher's schedule so you don't attempt to visit during a teacher's prep period. As you visit each teacher, write the date of your visit on the note card, and then return it to your administrative assistant, who will put it on the bottom of the stack. This simple system will ensure that you neither avoid the tougher teachers nor overvisit the easier teachers. If a teacher is absent or otherwise unavailable, simply put his or her card back on top of the stack for tomorrow. Self-discipline is critical when it comes to keeping your visits in order. Resist the temptation to skip around through your list, and always be sure to circle back to any teachers you miss due to absences. Day 6 Action Challenge: Schedule your classroom visit blocks. Use the formula provided in this chapter to calculate how many blocks per day you'll need to reach your target of 3 classrooms per day. See Schedule Visiting Blocks Based on Interruptions, page 58. Examine your school's master schedule and your calendar, and schedule these blocks on your calendar. Use your electronic calendar's recurring appointment feature to make these blocks a permanent part of your calendar. If your school has a varied schedule from day to day, you may find it easier to schedule your blocks on a weekly basis. Determine how you'll keep track of which teachers you've visited already and which teachers to visit next. Decide on a technology solution, or create a low-tech system by writing each teacher's name on a note card and giving the stack to your secretary. You may want to consider the following questions for reflection. What times of day am I most likely to avoid classrooms? What times of day am I least likely to be interrupted? How can I make office staff feel more supported in handling minor emergencies?